regular meeting of the Tahomany Community Service District for August 19th. Please rise to the flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please, John.
Director Kane.
Here.
Director Blair.
Here.
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Fairbanks.
Here.
Director Mendoza.
Here. First item is approval of minutes of July 15th.
I move that they be accepted as written.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of July 15th. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Item is passed. Public commentary. We have a period now where anyone in the audience can address the board on items that are not on the agenda. The time is limited to 3 minutes. If you come up, please state your name and address. Do you have any public comment?
My name is John Snyder, and I'm from 662 Eucalyptus Road in Nipomo. And previously, I had asked this board about its pumping status and whether it was adversely using the pumping rights of other pumpers in Nipomo in the Santa Maria Basin. And I received a letter last week, and it wasn't really clear from that letter whether you were claiming to be adversely using water. You said that it was impossible to determine the percent of their water the district has adversely used. That clearly leaves 0% as a possibility. You also did not clearly answer whether you were pumping from the people in what you describe as the Santa Maria Valley Hydrological Subunit. And I specifically asked about 3 wells. One well was Bob Blair's well. One well was my well. And the third well is Abel Maldonado's well, just east of the town of Santa Maria in Santa Maria Basin. I think it's important that everybody know whether you're adversely using their water. So I would request that you answer that letter. And I got another letter basically asking that. And secondly, I'd like to know if Doug Jones has produced any results in terms of getting the DWR up here to explain their study. I know Al Simon had requested that. Thank you.
So, do you want to respond to that?
I would just want to make one response, if I could, Mr. President. The last paragraph, first sentence of the letter to Mr. Snyder says, based on the district legal counsel's opinion, the district has adversely used the water rights and has thus acquired prescriptive rights against the landowners within the Nipomo sub-area. One. It says, however, without knowing their yearly pumping usage, it is impossible to determine the percent of their water the district has adversely used. So there is a comment.
You feel that adequately responds to the question?
That's correct. And I would also like to point out, just to the board, and I know John is aware of this too, is that, you know, we are providing this information to Mr. Snyder not based on any legal entitlement that any of these party owners have this information. This is clearly not a public records request because this information does not exist on documents. So if you will recall, Mr. Snyder made this request a number of probably months ago. Okay. And the board directed staff to go ahead and prepare the response. That's the only other comment I would make.
What about the other question that he posed on the DWR report?
What was the question, John?
The question was whether any progress made on
getting the DWR to come up and bring them in.
There's no direction from one board member brought it up, but if the total board wants to give me direction in that aspect, that we'll proceed in that aspect. But it was one request by a board member, but the board as a whole didn't take any action on it. So the staff has not taken any action on it.
Go ahead, Bill. Tom.
One of the paragraphs in this letter says, in response to your question, district has received a legal opinion from the firm of Hatch and Parent. That wasn't cheap. So, I mean, it wasn't that we didn't go out of our way to get you some sort of an answer. You always want to know when they come up here, and you saw the bill last month, I think, what the bill was. And we all could have had a good time on that kind of money. So it isn't like we didn't try to make some really specific effort to see that you got an answer.
I feel that a motion is in order to direct Mr. Jones to either proceed or not on Mr. Snyder's request for the DWR information. So can we take care of that now?
Well, I think what Mr. Snyder is requesting is that one of the engineers in the that the district invite one of the DWR engineers to a regular district meeting to explain their draft DWR report.
That's what I'll sign the question.
So we need a motion, a second, and a voice vote to carry that.
Could I make a motion to direct staff to do that?
Do they have a motion and a second to request a representative of DWR to come to one of our regular meetings? All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Mr. Jones will proceed with that request. Any other public comments? State your name, please, and your address.
Yes, sir. My name is Jim Ferraro, and I live at 1650 Rocky Place. And I'm interested in this item number 3, the Summit Station land use split.
This is for public comments on items that are not on the agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So if you'll just wait, we'll address that in a few minutes.
Thank you.
Warren, did you have a request? Any other public comments on anything that's not on the agenda? If not, we'll go on to the next item, which is item number 3, Summit Station area land use. Mr. Jones?
Yeah, Mr. President, the district has received a letter from Ruth Brackett, 4th District Supervisor of the county, wishing to discuss the Summit Station area with a possible lifting of the restrictions that the county put on that particular area. The Summit Station area was annexed to the district in 1993. At that time, the County Board of Supervisors adjusted the general plan to prohibit further expansion of subdivisions in the Summit Station area. It was originally zoned for a 5-acre parcel, but presently no additional subdivisions can take place in that area. I've been told with some background from the county back in 1993 for the district, for the board's background. When the initial annexation process came about, the district allocated 284 acre feet per year, estimating 1 acre feet per year per parcel for water. The actual use the past 2 years has been about 3/4 acre feet per year per account in the Summit Station area. The county back at that time had an environmental determination that of the parcels out there, there are existing 143 parcels, and an additional 37 could be developed into 5-acre parcels, creating 180 parcels total. There was a schematic put together. If secondary residents were allowed on those parcels, there'd be additional 174 or a total of 354 units out there. And if you use 3/4 acre feet per year per unit, it's about 265 acre feet, somewhat below the initial 284 acre feet per year the district allocated. This is a policy decision by the board with respect to allocating additional water to the Summit Station area for future land use situations out there. Also, one other thing that has happened since the land division for the change in general plan, an assessment district was put together at Summit Station to install water facilities for the people out at the area. And the district has adopted a ordinance where there is an in lieu assessment, and the total cost of the in lieu assessment, which is $11,508, an annexation fee of $500, a water capacity charge of $3,180, connection fee in year and county. So if a parcel was divided with water from the district, they would have to pay the district $16,128.14 for all these fees that are associated with the district fees and the in lieu assessment. And this item is being brought to the board for general discussion as Ms. Brackett wished to discuss about.
Any public comment?
Maybe.
Mr. Brackett, do you wish to address the board?
Just for the board's information, this is the area we're talking about in Summit Station. See, there's a number of large parcels, a number of small parcels, and based on the county's analysis, there could be an additional 37 parcels developed in those areas.
Mr. President and members of the board, I have not had a formal request made to me or to the chairman of the Board of Supervisors to agendize this, to consider changing the restriction. However, people have contacted me about a desire to have the restriction lifted so that they could go forward with their subdivision. I understand in talking to one attorney that there is a group of people at some point in time intending to make a formal request. And so before I even consider bringing this before the Board of Supervisors, I wanted to have a discussion with your board to see what the pros and cons are, how it affects you, how your policies that are currently in place affect us making any kind of change, and to offer the public an opportunity to have a discussion down here on this issue. So that's essentially where we are, and I'm open to any questions you have, and I'd like to hear from you, and I believe there's members of the public from the Summit Station area here as well.
Yes.
Do you have an idea of what type of entity they're thinking about? If they're going to do a subdivision out there?
Well, I think what they're looking at is having what their neighbors, who are to the minimum, 5 acre subdivision. Yeah. In some cases, the request is simply to divide a parcel in two, a 10 acre into five or whatever.
This was an error in here on this cover sheet. It says the area was originally zoned for 5 acre parcels. It still is. Mm-hmm. The only thing they did was prohibit the secondary dwellings and the subdivisions of those. 10-acre parcels are larger. 5-acre parcel, you couldn't subdivide anyhow.
Right. We wouldn't be looking at an amendment to the general plan to change the zoning. It's just the elimination of that restriction on further subdivision.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. Crockett?
And isn't that, Ruth, isn't that also the secondary dwellings? Would they remove that too?
Yeah. The whole restriction.
Would that have to
be up for discussion?
Would that have to go through LAFCO on that too?
No.
I don't think so.
Well, it went through LAFCO on that. That's why they approved it after the supervisors put the conditions on, and the planning department did.
But that was back to LAFCO. Annex to the district, wasn't it?
But that had to be, those conditions had to be in before they'd even accept it.
Oh, LAFCO took, when you go back, it was the older board that did this.
Right.
And so different members were on LAFCO as well. So that could very well be.
We have the research file.
I have the files all here.
I think Gene has a specific interest in that area.
Right.
Yeah.
So secondary dwelling, does that mean on 5 acres also, secondary dwelling?
Yeah. Our county ordinance allows secondary dwellings unless prohibited, for instance, by the Regional Water Quality Control Board or some other agency that has jurisdiction and restricts it. But most parcels in the county, unincorporated area, can have some kind of a secondary dwelling.
Mr. President?
Yes.
If this came about, what time frame are we looking at to change the general plan to put it back where it was?
There really isn't a time frame. The request has been rather informal. There hasn't been a direct petition to the board or myself to agendize this. The questions have just been asked, is it politically possible to remove the restriction?
Okay.
Once
action was taken, it would have to go through the process of adjusting the general plan. You anticipate that would take, 6 months, a year?
Mm-hmm. So we're not talking about putting it on the agenda in a few weeks and... Right.
Any other questions for Mrs. Bryant about the listener? We'll extend the 3 minutes a little bit.
Oh.
We don't often get
to I'm not used
here.
To that. And Alex and I did not call each other about what to wear tonight.
I had a hunch. If not, we'll let other members of the audience come up, and they could ask questions of Mrs. Blackett if they so need to, or any other concern that you have about this proposed lifting of this restriction.
Okay. Yeah. Norman Forsey of 231 Summit Station. I have a question. If you're not going to fix the water system, how are you going to take care of more people out there? Pressure varies every day.
We're waiting on the red-legged frog. No, really. We can't put the line across the creek.
That has nothing to do with Summit Station Road, I don't think.
No, but that's going to make a big difference.
And I doubt it. How are you going to increase the pressure from that stupid tank if you put another pipe across the creek?
We put in two more tanks. There's some engineering difficulties which we've been trying to do, but because of the Corps of Engineers, we weren't allowed to put it in last year because of the rains and the environmental concerns regarding the creek. If we can get all this through this year before it rains, we'll get it across. If not, we're going to have to wait again until next year. The environmental thing has really held us up, and we spent a lot of money and a lot of time on the
You have been telling us for over a year now that you're going to help us in Summit Station.
I understand that.
Now you're thinking about adding more properties out there by letting people split theirs and possibly second homes?
There's only a couple places where people supposedly are having problems. I don't have any problem with my house, and the people in the lower areas certainly don't have any problems. So there's no problem for supplying water. And there's a lot of lovely areas here. I think that's what these people here are concerned about. I've already split mine, so I'm not going to make any money on it. But Shirley's here. She'd like to split hers. And there's a real need for 2.5 and 5 acre parcels in the county because there isn't really nice parcels, and that's a lovely area. And there's a lot of people. And that's the only way we're going to get our roads paved. Unless you want an assessment district and want to pay what John's going to pay, if we get some development up there and some people split, then they're going to have to pave the road. That's why I paved, why you come up Dale Avenue, why it's paved up in my house, because I had to pave it. And I didn't have any problem paying with it. And I think Shirley split, she's going to have to pave it. And that's the only way you're going to get those dirt roads turned into asphalt. So that's some of the things you got to consider.
The question was concerning the water supply.
It has nothing to do with roads.
And in response to your question, the district has responded to the request of the residents out in that area, and there are several projects that are underway to alleviate this. It's not going to happen overnight. And
well, why aren't they taken care of then, if you know what the projects have to be?
Some of these projects...
Besides the pipe across the creek, that is.
There are other works in the planning stage that are going to have to be budgeted and be budgeted next year. But we're doing what we feel we can at the present time, and there will be future construction that hopefully will alleviate that problem. And so,
you want to come down and straighten all the lines out all the way down Summit Station? Is that what you intend doing?
I can't tell you. I don't intend to do that. The engineers will plan it, and we'll deal with it after that is presented to us.
Mr. President.
But
based on all our recorded documents out on Summit Station Road, the pressure right now is in the 50 PSI area during the low demand periods in summer where you're not pushing as much water across that single line. It's around 40 PSI. The board has taken consideration of the high elevation areas and offered to subsidize booster pumps for those areas. In fact, almost all areas that have high elevation areas, it's up to the property owner to move the water up to the top wherever so they desire. And I think the board has taken whatever action it is. The pressure in Summit Station area right now has been maintained about 50 PSI.
Where may I ask?
You can come in the office on Futura Lane.
Not at my house.
Well, you're lower, so you should have higher pressure.
Well, I don't.
And these are recorded documents which we sent to the county health department. We're responsible up to the meter, past the meter. We don't have any responsibility.
Well, there's a possibility that the problem is beyond the meter, which is something...
No problem beyond the meter. I'm right in the road.
Beyond the meter. From the meter to your residency. And that's your
I'm right on the road.
You're still on the other side of the meter. On the
brand new 2-inch pipe all the way to the house. Okay. 3 years old.
I have nothing else to tell you. We've been through this thing so many times.
I know.
Mr. President.
That's what worries me now. You want to place more people out there, and we're not getting what we need as it is.
That is up to the county government to decide whether that goes in or not. It's not our doing.
If the property owner wishes a higher pressure, the board has offered to subsidize the booster pump. If Mr. Corsi wishes to get higher pressure on his property, he can install a booster pump and boost up to whatever pressure he so desires. But the water supply in the street up to the property line meets all the requirements of the Clean Water Act and the State Health Department.
That's too bad. Thank you.
Any other public comments? Yes.
My name is Jim Ferrara, and I live at 1650 Rocky Place. When all this came up before LAFCO and the supervisors a long time ago, I brought up the fact, I got up and spoke, and that at that point, there, I have a piece of property, a little over 11 acres, with two complete single-family residences on it. Both were being serviced by wells at that time. Since then, we've had the one hookup, which is all you give us because of the 11-acre parcel and no split. But both properties or both houses at this time are still being served by that one split. So there'd be no additional water usage, if I split my property. It would be exactly the same as it is now. So whatever you've got now, you can just knock from 37, you can cut it back to 36 or whatever if you're going to multiply it by amount used. But I've been in contact with Mrs. Brackett's office since January or February this year, and with Pat Beck in the Planning Commission office. And I've just—I'm a truck driver, and I'm not around very much. I'm gone a month at a time, and I'm just trying to, I guess, get up to speed since I happened to be here when this meeting came up. So I just wanted to put in my 2 cents worth and let you know that I'm still interested. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak?
My name is Wanda Taft. I live at 190 Poppy Lane. I contacted Warren Hogue to begin with, and he advised me to contact Ruth Brackett. There's a lot of us up there who have problems with some of the restrictions who were being put on at that particular time. And my biggest concern right now is that there is a $4,273 fee that I have to pay to get these restrictions removed. I would not have to come before you. To the best of my knowledge, I would just progress with my application. Why I'm here today is I would like those fees waived.
What's the $4,000 fee?
It's a fee to get the restrictions removed. If I had the money, I could just go ahead and start the process. Am I correct? And to the best of my knowledge, that these restrictions would be removed if I had the money to do it.
If I'd have known that, I'd have paid them a long time ago.
Oh,
what, did you want the application, Bob?
No, I'm serious. I didn't know that you could do that. I
have talked to Warren Hogue, and he says that the people who represent the board now is a whole new different group, and he was very sympathetic with me. They need the money. Well, you got the money?
They let me build a grant now.
I think, again, your question needs to be presented to the county.
It does. That's why I was kind of curious as why it was coming here first. There's a lot of people have a lot of ideas. These may not happen for 1 year. They may not happen for 10 years. They may not ever happen. A lot of them just would like the idea that maybe a granny house could be placed there when they get older. Or they have kids coming home that need help. It's just the idea that these things were removed from us.
Because of the water situation out there, I thought it was appropriate to have the public discussion down here in the Como with the district board.
Okay. How large does that request have to be?
Well, very
so how many of those?
We
are neighbors.
It would be a judgment call by the board. The board would have to make a decision to waive the fees.
Okay, and that's originally why I contacted your office, was to see if I could get the fees waived to progress with this application.
Well, I understood there was some attempt to organize.
There has been. Jim Ferrara?
I have a formal request for an amendment.
Well, I don't think I can submit it to you without this amount of money, can I?
A group could come and ask the board to process the amendment and receive it. I haven't had that kind of request.
Jim, can I ask you a question? You were thinking of going with a lawyer at one point just to get these removed?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I believe I got the lawyer's name from the last call.
The lawyer has contacted the police who represent one or more people out there, and I gave his name to Mr. Ferrara, and he has not made a formal request on behalf of this group of people, whatever they might be.
Okay, well, I'm making the request. Okay, I proceed about that, just let me know. Okay, would you please? Okay, thank you. Is there any opposition from the board?
Well, that's why I want this discussion. I want to hear all the public comments and then the reaction of the board and their staff as to any problems, because I don't want to broadside at a public hearing.
Right. To progress with it. Okay, that's fine. I've asked the board to make address any more issues.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this issue with the summer station?
I understand. I have a question to Ruth. Would a petition do?
It could be in the form of a petition. they would have to define the area they're talking about. Are they talking about a portion of the summit station, the entire area there that was annexed to the district, et cetera? There has to be a little more definition. So I don't know if there's anyone out there who would be opposed to it. That was another thing that I felt might get generated here, that there were people opposed to it. So.
Okay. The reason why I'm asking is that I do have a computer with a word processor at home. If you people wish to use my capabilities, just let me know and I'll help you write a petition. 929-1049.
He is a truck driver,
so. No, I'm not a truck
driver. I got to get considered before I leave.
Anyone else? Anyone else in the public wants to address the board?
John Snyder, 662 Eucalyptus Road. This board sent me a letter saying that the basin was overdrafted in their opinion, and they passed a resolution as such. They also said in the letter that they were hostily using or adversely using the water of other well owners. So I'm wondering if this goes through and there's increased consumption, where would the water come from that would be used to supply these additional hookups?
Okay. We'll get to that. Let Mr. Jones respond to that. Any other public comments? Hang on a minute, Ms. Jenny. Mr. Jones, I think we've heard that people want some information. Would you want to present it, or would you want Mr. Gehring to present some information? Maybe you can introduce him and...
Yeah, maybe Mr. Gehring can address the situation, and I can supplement anything that he might have missed.
I think we'll take some time to present questions to Mr. Gehring and some of you residents out there that are concerned about the additional water consumption and how it's going to affect the residents.
Yeah, just for information purposes, Mr. Gehring is the president, I guess, of Gehring Terry and Associates, who was involved in the assessment district and designed the water system for the summit station area, and he's also presently the district engineer.
Mr. President, members of the board, good evening. I'm Jim Gehring. Maybe it'd be well for me to give you some background to refresh your memories on the Summit Station Assessment District. If you'll recall, the Summit Station standpipe was constructed well prior to the formation of the Summit Station Assessment District. At the time it was conceived, it was understood that there would be some areas out in that area of the county which were not in the district, which if they did come into the district in the future would have pressure which met widely accepted standards but which would be at the lower end of those standards. And in fact, that is the case today. There is no area out in the Summit Station area which, according to all the tests that have been done, failed to meet accepted state county standards for water pressure and water availability. There were some things that happened during the course of the design of the district that you might want to be aware of. And that is, originally, we had designed the whole system to supply domestic flow of 1,000 and plus fire flow of 1,000 gallons a minute out in that area. When that design was presented and the costs of it were presented to the various people who wanted to become part of the district, they found those costs to be in excess of what they had expected. And they asked us to find some way to reduce costs. So we got with the California Division of Forestry and asked if they could revise their fire flow standards because fire flow was what was driving the size of the water mains out in the Summit Station area. And they studied the issue and they decided to reduce the fire flow requirements for that and all of the county, actually, to 500 gallons a minute. And in fact, that fire flow requirement is effective throughout the county for areas where parcels are 2.5 acres or larger. So with that standard, we went forward with the design of the system. Now, bear in mind that we were attempting to attain a absolute minimum of 500 gallons per minute, and no engineer stakes his license on hitting the minimum. We always try to do better than that and yet stay within the cost constraints that were presented. And in fact, when CDF tested the system for fire flow during the winter months, they found that at the worst possible hydrant in the system, we didn't get 500 gallons a minute, we got 800. So we met the standard and we exceeded the standard substantially. And not only that, a year later, during the warmer months of the year, the system was tested again by CDF in the presence of myself, and I believe your board president was there, and I think Mr. Kay was there on that day. And again, the system met better than 500 gallons a minute. It made 800 gallons per minute. So I would like the board to be assured and be comfortable that that system is capable of supplying that area in excess of the standards that are required. And in fact, it can easily supply that area down to 5 acres, and I believe, in my own opinion, it can go down to 2.5, because that's the standard we designed to when CDF changed their standards.
Okay. I think I'm trying to accommodate the residents, because you don't often have this opportunity to ask these questions, and here's a chance. You just heard Mr. Gehring explain that the water system is sufficient down to 2.5 acres. And so that pretty well answers the question that you posed here. So any of you others out here want to ask questions of Mr. Gehring, here's your chance. Or board members also?
In other words, Summit Station is part of the district. It's not a separate part, it's part of the complete district.
That's right.
So the residents of Summit Station are entitled to the same goods and services and water that the rest of the district.
Absolutely.
So if they wanted to split their property, then there is sufficient water in the district to supply them as much as there would be for somebody around the corner or downtown at the present time.
That's right. And in fact, at the time the district was formed, I believe that none of the staff present at the time thought that the restriction was reasonable, and we anticipated that it would be lifted in the future.
What it's basically done then is made kind of Summit Station like a second-class part of the district through no fault of their own.
Absolutely.
That anybody else in the district is allowed to come in here and ask us for water to split their property or put a granny house on, but people in Summit Station aren't allowed this privilege because the county put these restrictions on, which is no fault of the district.
You're right.
Any other board?
Yes, the county put the restrictions on, I think partly my fault. I submitted that petition with all the signatures on back when they were going through the South County Plan update. And at that time, all the signatures that I had on that were for maintaining the 5-acre minimum parcel size out there as it was before the South County Plan update. And there were, I think, only 3 people, property owners out there. I submitted both lists, those that wanted to maintain the size of the parcel, 5 acres, and then those that wanted to have smaller lots. And only 3 were for the smaller lots, and the rest wanted to maintain the 5-acre minimum. Well, when I addressed the amendment to the general plan, because of the fact in the South County Plan update, there was no provision for water service from a urban source to a rural area. And so I had to make the pitch for the reasons why we needed additional water out there because of the wells. The engineering department, the health department, Warren Hogue, we all worked together on that, and originally we had 2,200 acres because of Mr. Paul Hood from Glasgow said it had to be contiguous, and that was when Ryder Ray was here, and he went ahead and took in an area that we really didn't want to have taken in. We were just had about 870 acres out there. Well, it was 2,200 acres, and they threw it back at us and said, you can't take in ag land, which... But that's the only way it could have been contiguous. So we threw that out, went back to the 870 acres again, and then they noted that I had submitted the petition for remaining that 870 acres to be 5-acre parcels and no further subdivisions to lower than that. Now, they took that to mean that there were no further subdivisions, period, 20 acres, 10 acres, or whatever it is, and they just used that against the residents out there. And at that time, Warren Hoag said that was not necessary, and I see in this background that was before us today that enclosed the determination with a table showing, it says, well, let's see, in the initial annexation process, the district allocated 284 acre feet for the 143 properties. So I don't know where you got that 1 acre foot per parcel. It doesn't add up with that amount of water.
I believe there was a sense of 248, or that's what Mr. Ratteray came up with.
Well, anyhow, this is what they had, and we actually used only 3/4 acres, and even if the total build-out goes to 354 residents, we still use 265 acre feet per year at that rate, and which would be below the 284 acre feet that was allocated for that area. So I don't really see any problem with that, because there's not going to be granny houses on every lot. I know, me for one, I don't want one. And there's other people out there that maybe they have 10 acres, they don't want to split it down to 5 acres either. But they don't want those restrictions on there, and I think they were wrong to put them on there, but in order to get the water, we accept them at the time. And that's how it went.
I have one more comment that I forgot to mention earlier, and that is that in fairly recent history, the county has updated its South County General Plan. And as part of that general plan update, there is a hydrologic element that contains a very excellent analysis of the water supply situation on the Napomo Mesa. And that hydrogeologic analysis says that we are not in overdraft. It says that we are operating in a continually full basis. And that will continue for the foreseeable future. And that if we convert from agricultural land or trees to residential or commercial, the situation gets better, not worse. And that element and that plan has been adopted by the Board of Supervisors.
Mr. Jones, do you have anything to add?
I believe what the supervisor of Fourth District is requesting that the board is just kind of a feeling, since it hasn't taken place, and so no action can take place of an item that is pending and that has not materialized, but the board could indicate that they are sympathetic to the area and that the district would supply sufficient water for division of parcels in the future.
I would make that motion.
I second it, and maybe we can send a letter to the county stating that, so that they know that,
or
copy of whatever, so that way Ruth will have it.
Maybe we should have the motion. The motion needs to be restated.
Mr. Jones.
I think the motion would be that the Board of Directors of the Napomo Community Service District would be sympathetic of providing additional water for future divisions within the Summit Station area.
Future divisions and granny
house. Well, I would just say we were for the removal of the restrictions that were put on in 1993. And let them.
I
like the statement.
Well, we can dress it up, but that's what the intent is.
We
that.
I hate to lawyer this in this situation, but I know Ruth was expected to do it anyway. I think what the board could say here is we can't say we're not, we can supply them with water until we see the project. That's
what I'm saying, is that the board's sympathetic until the actual document comes down. If
right.
We react to, the board can't take up.
We have the capacity to do it.
But we have, the way the district works, and the way our ordinances are set up, when a project comes before the board, we make a determination as to what the water supply is and whether or not we can supply that project. And then we issue them a tentative will serve letter. They process through the county, and once they get their permits, we then issue, or during the permitting process, issue them a final will serve letter. So I wouldn't want to place the board in an unattainable situation here tonight where we're actually issuing will serve letters without a project being in front of us. So,
I would agree. Is there anybody who could make reference to this and just suggest a number of lots?
I think we could say that the district originally allocated during the original project is what Mr.
I have the approval of LAFCO file 1R92 dated May 20th, 1993. On page 5, it states the adopted general plan with the amendments to it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And those are pretty much the restrictions were put on us at that time. And that's when we got approval for the, after you went to the supervisors. Then we went back to LAFCO with these restrictions on there, and that's how they adopted the annexation. They approved the annexation at that time. And number 3 was no land divisions creating new parcels are allowed. And number 4, residential density is limited to one dwelling unit per parcel, i.e. no secondary dwellings are allowed. And those two are the only ones. Then they had number 6 as
motion to yes. Will you speak into the mic so we can get it recorded?
Ed Sauer. To begin with, I want to mention that I'm running for no public office, and I'm only doing this because I think these people need some help. That's all. But my question now is, since what you're talking about, do they actually need a petition? Sounds to me like you don't.
I think if the district is in support of the restrictions being removed, and from what I understand the motion to be, that probably would
eliminate the need for.
Well, the allotted capacity that we had figured in for this was more than enough. Right. And there's never going to be that 354 residences out there with a 5-acre zoning.
Okay.
Well, I wouldn't say never, but that's down the line, and this is what it was sized for originally, as Mr. Gehring will attest.
Well, I think that's a very important point. Right. And the whole reason for coming out down here, that was the best way to dig out some of the pertinent information based on your ability to serve the area.
My understanding was at the time when they put the restriction on was that they were thinking, well, maybe they were thinking 2.5-acre parcels, which we were against out there. But then when they put the restriction on concerning the no subdivisions, I said, where did they get that from? And I thought maybe they interpreted that from my petition, and they went forward with it. They just added that to the miseries that we had out there.
Well, 5 acres was on in 1978 because I split in 78 and 79, and the 2.5 came off and the 5s went on because I was right on the borderline. In fact, I would have liked to split into 2.5.
Well, I bought my property in 76, it was 2.5-acre zoning.
In 78 it changed, yeah. I know, because I did it. That's why I paid for it.
Okay.
Right. Back then.
In a lot of density.
That's why there's some 2.5-acre parcels out there to this day.
Okay. Well, I have no vested interest whatsoever.
Yeah, so
but if this motion does not pass, my office still goes. Thank you.
Could I just make a suggestion?
Yes. Well, we're in discussion. You have a first and second of the discussion. The board might wish to add, since it's allocated 284-acre feet to the initial thing, put that limit on it, and if it goes above that, the board would come back and reconsideration the aspect of water supply for that area. So there is a limitation with respect to servicing.
Right, because
of the water for that
amount
area
allotted for that annexation.
And let me make a comment on that. Right here tonight, on this agenda tonight, if you read the agenda, we're going to allocate 236 lots, will serve lots. Now, that's in the district. These people are in the district, too. And that's almost the whole amount for Summit Station. We're doing that in one night. And then every week that we meet, we do that. So to say that there's no water for Summit Station is ludicrous. I mean, sometimes we're going to run out of water, but the Summit Station area should not be put in a special category and everything built here downtown, because I don't think everybody wants to live downtown. And it's a nice area, and we need some nice neighbors. And we need our streets back.
Okay, let's address the motion, or you have some additional information?
Yeah, Mr. President, what I was just thinking here is that we, from time to time, issue conditional will serve letters, and we have a number 8 that's on the agenda, and I'd just like to propose a motion based on our conditional will serve letters, which is not a commitment to serve water, but more or less states certain conditions. I would phrase the motion this way. Without addressing the issues of overdraft, as debated here, the district has the current capacity to serve an additional 37 residents. Is that what I understand with the maximum?
According to his background, he said there's a 284 acre feet per year, and that's if everybody had a dwelling on their property at 5 acre size, you know, if they took a 20 acre parcel, split it into 4, there would be enough for that plus a granny house on every lot.
So how many additional?
354 residences altogether.
131, I think.
354. Right, with the granny. Which one? Right. There are only 37 lots that can be subdivided there at right now, and that will always be that way.
We don't have a project. This is just a
right.
I want to say something. I think that we're getting a little carried away with the allocating on acre feet and et cetera. I think that, yes, we should restate that. That wasn't in the consideration when we were to annex them. We did not, I did not think that was fair to the Summit Station area, because what was going on is that they annexed to, if Cal Cities served them, they had no restrictions on subdivisions, but if we served them, they stuck restrictions on them.
Right.
And that was a little bit prejudiced or something, a little odd. But I don't think we should get so carried away with these numbers. I think that we should recommend that that we serve them, or that the restrictions be lifted, and that also that in lifting the restrictions that was not in our consideration, that we considered that we were going to serve them entirely at that particular time.
I
time.
Can we treat this as a will serve, since it is not a project?
No. What I would just recommend, like it is sympathetic to the aspect we do not have a project, we do not have a land use change before the board. I think you need to address it in detail then, but I think the board or the district is sympathetic of going forward, lifting restrictions, and the district would supply the water supply to that area based on the original conditions.
Right, and then reference this thing right here that says that we had the intent of serving the area in a different manner than we got.
Okay. Well, that's the motion, and we need to maybe represent it. Who presented that the motion?
Okay. I did.
Do you want to reword it, or is it still stand?
Well, can Donna read that motion back? The first motion.
No, she doesn't have it.
She doesn't have it either. Well, I. It all right. It's the way Mr. Jones stated it. That's all right with me.
We'll take that. We don't have to wrestle with that.
Right.
So what we're basically saying is we're sympathetic with removing
the restrictions,
and if a reasonable project comes in, we have at the present time the capacity to serve.
Right.
And that's
it. That's the motion. Okay. Do we have a second?
Bob Blair seconded it.
Seconded again. Okay, we have a motion and a second. As stated, I want a roll call vote on this.
Director Page.
Yes.
Director Blair.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Fairbanks?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes. Vote's unanimous. Okay.
Thank you. I
just
had helped
me and the rest of the company. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Ruth, would you like this copy that I had from the LAFCO file?
Yes, that was
maybe they could make a copy. Or you could look at that and see
well,
it's page five. Yeah, maybe they'll. I'll have them.
Thank you very much for another meeting.
Okay, we're going.
See that, Kasha? Lots of meetings.
We're going to item number four.
Yeah.
That's the Swanee use. That's right.
And Mr. President, Mr. Wichy is requesting an adjustment in his water bill for the period of March 18th through May 5th. He experienced a high volume of water use recorded to the meter, even though he was not living at the property at the time. And the district had went out and checked the meter a couple of times and found it functioning properly. It is one of these situations where we've had water going to the meter, but there's no evidence of where it went. Mr. Rich is here. He can. You have his letter that he explained, and he wishes to address the board on this matter.
I'm distracted by the conversation out there. How do you pronounce your name?
Dwight.
Dwight.
That's quite all right.
Just to address the board?
Yes. If Mr. Jones has distributed to you my letter stating in it the facts that I see them surrounding when we initially requested service out there, when we moved in, and the time to the first reading, I have no logical explanation for where, as I can read your meter, 110,000 cubic feet of water went. I have no explanation for it. In the next two-month period, my wife and I used 20, which is equivalent to, I guess, 200 cubic feet of water. And during that period of time, we were even watering the lawns and the shrubbery that's around that one-acre site. So during the first 5 weeks that we were actually living in the house, I'm sure our usage didn't exceed that because we weren't watering, thanks to El Nino and his effects. So somewhere in that three-week period from when we did our last walkthrough to the time we actually moved in, we got 110,000 cubic feet of water that went through that meter, and I have no explanation for it. And based on that, you know, I'm here to the board saying, is there something that we can do about it?
What the board has in fact also is the previous owner's usage of that same property, just to get some comparison. Unfortunately, he hasn't lived there long enough to get a history of usage, so we included the previous owner to give the board some background.
Well, we also...
Is there any possibility that somebody studied the other like units for that period? Did they have anything unusual in their water bills?
Not that I'm aware of.
I know that my neighbor just to the south of me had, I believe it was a $20 water bill during that period, and whatever a $20 water bill equates to, so I know he experienced no excessive usage, but he's the only one around me that I know anything about.
Is it possible for a meter to stem and not produce water? And I ask that question with all sincerity because we have the same thing on one occasion where we had about a 510% increase over the previous, and yet we hadn't used any more water. So there's something different that's going on in terms of this situation.
Well,
The staff report is that they have been able to find no explanation for what occurred. And customarily, the districts are always very reluctant to make adjustments because it's just something that isn't done, unless they can find something wrong with the meter.
Right, I understand that. And, you know, if I had been smart, I would not have signed up for service until we moved in there. At the time I called in, I was told that if I discontinued service and restarted service, there would be a hookup fee. And I don't recall, it seemed to me that that was on the neighborhood of $50. And so I said, just continue the meter. Don't do anything. Don't lock it out. Don't force people to come back out on the 10th or the 11th, whenever we do get around to moving in and having to start it all over again. Just continue the service. You know, I realized we weren't going to be there for 2 or 3 weeks, but as noted in my letter, you know, we did a walkthrough of the house, and there was no leaks anywhere present. When we got there on the 10th, there were no leaks present. And during that period of time that we lived there for 5 weeks, you know, it's where in heaven's name did 110,000 cubic feet of water go? So I'm at a loss to understand what happened, and I'm before you, members of the board, to see if there's anything that can be done to resolve it.
The staff's position is that this is an expense to you, and I understand you're appealing to the board, and so it's up to the board. This is your opportunity to ask additional questions if you wish to. We have to come up with a decision of whether Mr. White has to pay the whole bill, part of it, or some kind of adjustment. So let's get on with it.
You moved in on the 18th of March?
The
18th of March?
The 19th of March is when we did a walkthrough of the house.
Oh, you didn't move in?
No, we did not move in. That was when the house was vacated by the previous residents.
When did you actually move in?
3 weeks later on the 10th of April.
Well, there's a lot of leeway. You weren't back into the house after the walk-in?
No.
Well, there's a lot of things that can happen in 3 weeks. Somebody could be taking that water, nobody's around, the meter is open and going, and somebody could be drawing that water to fill up a swimming pool or something around there, or who knows what they're doing. Nobody's there to see them.
That's true. Somebody could have backed a water truck up to it.
I think that takes a little bit long to get them to fill up a water truck with that. But
I understand.
Something like with a hose, let the hose running day and night somewhere, taking that water, using it somewhere else on a neighboring lot could very well be your problem, because there was nobody there to see what was going on at that property. The real estate people were.
I could concur with you, and if it had been in midsummer for watering purposes, I would agree with you.
Right.
During that period of time, however, all the properties around there were inundated with water.
Right. I know that it was plenty wet. But looking back here on the previous owner's billings, and there were some large water usages. And there was some in November, and there was one in August or July that was high. Another one in November was high too, 24,500 units. And so there is something happening out there where they're using the water. I don't know, but you weren't there for the 3 weeks, and
right.
Anything could happen. All up to what the others.
Any other board comments?
One thing that in the future you can do, you can put your own lock on the meter.
That's true.
So you can turn it off.
But you're there now, so you wouldn't have
right.
to.
Right. If I'm going to be gone for an extended period of time.
You can lock it, and even you're still billed as being there, but the meter's locked, and nobody's going to take any water from your house or anyplace else. So.
See, the house was vacant, and I mean, everyone knows it in the neighborhood probably that the house was vacant, nobody there, so they just maybe could help themselves. Who knows?
The neighbors that I have in there, I would even hesitate to think that any of the neighbors would have done that, because they have. It's a very good neighborhood. It's an extremely good neighborhood. All the people have, in fact, during the past 2 weeks, my wife and I have been gone because of family emergencies in Arizona, and you know they are an extremely good neighborhood. I would not even think of something of that nature.
Board decide, right? Right. Some leeway here.
What's Mr. Jones's?
Well, the staff is, I think staff position is
if that. We set precedent on this, it's going to be.
Understand, well. And the only reason that I came before this board was one comment that Mr. Jones had made to me back in May when I was discussing this with him, and that was to the effect that at sometimes the board had made dispensation for incidents which had occurred where a trespasser or a neighbor inadvertently broke a hose that was on the property and it had run for a couple of days before having been discovered, which to me is like, you know, if you got a hose out there and it's running for 2 days and you don't know it, it's your responsibility. But nonetheless, he said that the board had made dispensation on that.
Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to either make an adjustment on Mr. Bikes' bill or forgive this expense or pay the whole amount. So that's what we do.
Well, I'd go for a motion to do a portion, part, because I give him the responsibility for not locking it.
I know better now on that.
I mean, or, okay, well, we shouldn't 50, have to lock it, but
50-50.
Yeah.
For giving the expense, is I think out of the question. Mr. Fairbanks is suggesting we make an adjustment.
Yes.
You're saying half.
Yes, I think half would be fair.
How does the rest of the board feel about that?
Yeah. Mr. President, yeah, I think the board needs to come up with some findings to justify something. Otherwise, maybe open up Pandora's box.
Okay.
Mr. Sykes?
I would agree with Mr. Jones on that.
Can I just say, make an adjustment and let you guys, the office?
Then we can bring it back to the next board meeting for approval.
Right.
Yeah.
I hate to be the devil's advocate here, but one of the people I work for had this happen to him in San Diego. It cost him $3,700, and they didn't give him any. And you've got the list of six different water districts here.
May I?
Whatever's on the other side of the meter is your responsibility. I mean,
may I make a suggestion? Since
that's just the way it is. I mean,
okay, we get it. We got it.
May I make the suggestion? Since there isn't any history on this account except the previous owner, which indicates that this is not unusual water use, I would suggest that the board table this period maybe for a year to build up a history and see what it is, and then maybe bring it back and adjust it at that time if it needs to be adjusted. That way you'd have some type of use of this particular resident versus the other resident.
That's a solution. That's a good solution.
Okay. What type of period are you talking about?
The 12-month period. It's something that I don't think he's going to move out in 12 months, hopefully.
I hope not. I've done too much pain to move out.
And we put a flag on the count that at the end of 1 year, we'd go back and look at it and bring it back to the board.
Good idea.
Need a motion to that effect?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor to allow a year's period on this residence of water payments to establish a basis for any adjustment. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Opposed? Right. Motion passed now.
It's $118, right?
I believe that's what it was.
Right.
Something like that.
All right, we'll go to the next.
Thank you.
Next time, thank you, Mr. Mike. Item number 5, engineering services.
Yeah, Mr. President, the committee did meet, and I believe they may have a recommendation to the full board on the selection of a consultant to do the design work for the storage facility and transmission main.
Okay. Yeah, we did meet, Bob and myself, last night, and we spent several hours trying to guess how these figures were arrived at.
we didn't succeed in finding out how they were arrived at. But there's a strange dichotomy here in that there's such a difference. To give you an example, on the plans and specs, which is the work that is always done previous to the building, one of them had $60,000, including all of those, and the second one had $82,680, and the third one had $111,000. And that seems to me to be something amiss someplace. Then in the tank, one of them didn't have anything in the package that referred to the cost of the tank. The other two, one was $1.39 million, and the other one was $1.1 million. Now, if you take that $1.1 million and add up the high score on the other side, why, it still is underneath the other. So it is our recommendation that Garion Engineering would receive the bid. If you have any questions on it, we'd be very happy to answer them, ask to perhaps answer them. As I say, it's not easy. Any board questions?
If the board wishes to proceed that way, they should direct staff to come forth with an agreement and with the outline, and either to bring it back to the board, just direct staff to proceed with executing the agreement and have the board president sign the professional service agreement with Garion Taylor & Associates to design the water and tank storage facilities. And prior to the motion, you might want to take some public comment.
Any public comment on this item? Okay, so motion is?
Yes. We make the motion, we go ahead with Gary, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and you direct the staff to put an agreement together, and we either bring it back to this.
You might want to visit with Mr. Gary, and he's a little bit high in a few areas there. He might say, yes, let's come down and kick that one around a little bit.
Well, we can do that.
Okay.
One thing I will say, I like the way Cannon's and the other was laid out. Yours, I had to read. Like, I went through it three times. I couldn't find any figures. Like, and then I got back to the first paragraph, and it was all written and very nice, which was kind of nice. But when you're scanning through, you're looking really for, you know, you're looking for some bottom line figures. Like, Cannon had certain things listed out. And then after I read yours, I thought, well, this one's better. But at first, I couldn't tell what was what. So I like the other format. But outside of that, just regardless of the format, you got fit. So
we have a motion we have a motion to accept the Garion for the consultation. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
And we have a motion and a second to award the design of this project to Mr. Garion.
Yeah, and direct staff to work out an agreement to accept the both of the district.
Okay. All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Yes. Opposed? Motion passed. Item number six, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah. Mr. President, the district has received the request for water service to track 2297, which is a seven-lot subdivision at the intersection of Willow Road and Pomeroy Road, which is shown on the overhead map. This is Pomeroy Road and Willow Road upside down. It's a seven-lot subdivision right at the corner. On the north side is the Black Lake development and Live Oak Bridge intersection. You can see the location on your overhead map. This is the district, and this is Willow Road. The Black Lake golf course is out this area. The project right at that intersection. Requesting the intent to serve letter. District staff recommends a processing the intent to serve letter with the standard conditions on all the letters going out, and with a 1-year expiration date would be in effect.
Do we have any public comment? No public comment. Board comments?
Yes.
address?
I'm Avi Edwards. Maiden name is Camacho. And it is six lots, but we're only requesting 4 meters because there are 2 existing meters already on the property. It is a family-owned ranch. Our parents purchased this property in the 40s, and the intent is to keep the ranch with the family. We're not developers, and we're not going to divide this to sell, or it's for the family, for the children, and the grandchildren of Felix and Antonia Camacho. Felix, do you want to add anything? My brother Felix Camacho is here.
May I address that aspect of it? This is an intent to serve letter, which is processed into the county. When they come and pay the fees, they'll get credit for the services that are already there, so they don't have to pay them again. So just the new services where fees will be allocated.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay,
we have a motion to...
I'll make a motion that what's the number of this thing?
2297.
Huh?
2297.
Yeah, we approve the water service will serve for track 2297.
I second.
Yeah, motion and second to approve... the request of track 2297. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion passes. Let's take care of it. Item number 7.
Yeah, Mr. President, I just received a request from ADA to renew an intent to serve letter for track 1747. Track 1747 actually was a 180-lot subdivision. Development near the intersection of Chestnut and Thompson Road. It has been revised downward density from 180-something down to 149. This is basically the layout of the proposed subdivision. This subdivision is bringing a water well with them located at this site. That was part of the annexation to the district. And one of the stipulations is that the developer is built, or development is built, a water line be extended to the well site so that it can be put online. It would be staff recommendation that the intent to serve letter, basically a renewal one, will be granted based on the outline that the board has, which is our standard procedure.
Any public comment?
Is there any limit to how many times they can renew this intent to serve?
No, basically the track map is the one that governs by the county. The board can, you know, they're in the district boundary, they're doing the annex process, they brought their own water supply in, they've reduced the density, they've been working with the county.
Has that amended track map been approved?
The track map has been, it's a vested track map. It's good for they can renew it.
About a new one, cutting down the size of the amount of lots. It's gone down from 189 lots to 149. Has that been approved as 149?
This is being processed through the county.
I know, but have they done it yet?
It's my understanding. Normally what they do is before they process through the county, they need an intent to serve letter from the district before the county will process it. As my talking to EDA, is that this is in the process of going through the county. They anticipated having the process completed by the end of the year, hopefully, but I've heard that before.
Well, what I'm getting at is here you have 189-lot development that was originally proposed, and it's been extended a few times, I guess, and now they're talking about making it 149 lots. Is there going to be any problems with the district on the amount of lots, the difference in the change, 40 lots less?
No.
Well, I know, but is there any problem with, because we approved 189 lots, now they're dropping it down? What would happen if they did make, say, 300 lots on there, and if they got approval for that?
If it's within the guidelines of the county land use elements, we'd have to provide service.
If you mentioned, Doug, the size of the lot, I missed it. What is the size of the lot?
They're about 6,000 square foot lots. Originally, some of the lots were about 4,500, and so they've been upsized from about 4,500 up to 6,000. and larger, but I think the bulk of them are around 6,000 per foot.
They're pretty small, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is an original subdivision, isn't it? I mean, it's not like this was one of the old original subdivisions where there was lots in there to begin with.
Part of it was original subdivision, but they revised the whole part.
Yeah, but parcel. I mean, it isn't like they just took 80 acres of blank ground and made a whole bunch of lots. This was already laid out in lots, I think, as part of the city, wasn't it, or Como, or whatever we call it.
The county has certain densities in the land.
I mean, this was an old, wasn't this an old subdivision?
Not at this configuration.
Oh, okay.
No, because they had that sound thing of egg area or something.
Yeah. It was a grid pattern before.
I make a motion
that
we extend it.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve a closer letter for tract 1747. All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Motion is unanimous. Item number 8, request for check to serve letter tracts 1924 and 2304.
And Mr. President, Mr. Wolfstrom is requesting an intent to serve letter for tracts 1924 and 2304. He is the managing partner of the Black Lake Ranch Estates, nothing to do with Black Lake Golf Course Development. this subdivision at the intersection of Camino Caballo and Osage and Mesa Road. There's Mesa Road and Osage. This is the county park. The school's over here. And basically, the county zoning this area is 1 acre parcel. He has the bulk of a 1 acre parcel. Some of our larger parcels, mainly because of the terrain, would not allow building sites on just a 1 acre parcel, so they're somewhat larger. The subdivisions are a 32 lot subdivision, which would be the first one, and then the second lot is a 39 lot subdivision. And staff recommends a will serve letter or intent to serve letter with the standard provisions and a 1 year expiration date.
These are all 1 acre, right?
Yeah, or larger.
This fellow, Carl Wittstrom, is working on Black Lake right now. He has a 10 unit project going up, and his work is really outstanding. He's an outstanding developer, and I think anything that he brings to the Napomo area is going to be a plus. That would be my recommendation. I would make a motion.
Hold on a minute. Any public comment on this project? No. Okay, Al.
Okay. I make a motion that we go ahead with this and we'll serve from.
Before we do this, what about sewer? Because I know it's on 1 acre. They don't have to have sewer, right?
I'll second it.
Yeah, me too.
Motion and second.
Yes.
For most of those for track 1924 and 2304.
Mr. President, I think we do have a public comment.
I have a question, President Allen. Mr. Simon said that this fellow does extremely nice work and would be an asset to the community. Does that have anything to do with your giving will serve letters? In other words, you wouldn't deny, you know, a developer a will serve letter if you had the water and all of that, even though he was not a, even, suppose he was a shoddy.
To you, will you?
Suppose he were a shoddy workman.
You don't have to get closer to it, just pull it closer to you.
Oh. same old. Anyway, I wondered if that has anything to do with providing a will serve letter, the quality of the workmanship.
Well, certainly the fact that this is a very strong developer with a great reputation, that has to be have its effect on the way the board would look at it, I'm sure. I would certainly look at it that way.
Would you deny a developer water if he were not?
Okay. That's a silly question.
Let me just make a quick comment. Our ability to serve water is based on Title 22.
He's pulling on somebody's leg. Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve these two tracts. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Opposed? Motion passed. Okay, item number nine.
Yeah, Mr. President, from time to time, public entities dispose of surplus equipment, and the staff has put together a list of 26 items running from a truck down to drop boxes and scanners and a metal rotary box and, you know, 6-inch check valves and et cetera. And basically, the public entity needs to declare these items surplus prior to dispose of them, and the district would dispose of them at the appropriate manner. Most of the time, we're not to bid on the items. There's an auctioneer which we might dispose of the bulk of the material. And therefore, just recommend a motion by the board that the supplemental equipment surplus list attached is approved for disposal.
Is that 1990 Chevy truck the one I think it is?
Yes.
Good.
Do you sell these at all to anybody?
We've probably gotten the bidding process, yeah.
Is there any way that the building we have over there across the freeway that we could display this stuff so the public can come in and look at it?
Usually there's an auctioneer in the Tasker area, and I've had in contact with him.
Oh, he comes down and auction it?
He just takes it up there and has an auction. He does it, I think, every other week or something like that.
Any public comment on that? Anybody want to buy it?
I would make the motion then that we authorize staff to dispose of the items, surplus items.
That's
especially
right.
That truck. Are you going to get the new truck before you get rid of that one, I hope?
It's been parked and we're driving the one ton, and we have a couple bids in on a 89 and 1990 vehicles.
I don't think so, not yet.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to dispose of these surplus items. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Opposed?
Passed.
Okay. Item number 10, approval of warrants.
Too bad Lisa isn't here to tell us the tally on Wyatt and Baker so far. Does anyone know?
Well, Mr. Baker will be here during closed session.
Oh, he will be.
Yes.
Can I make a motion that we approve the warrants? Pay the money?
I'm going to ask a question. Is the audit done? Is the audit done?
Not completed.
Okay, I just thought I'd check the card up, so I thought maybe...
Partial.
Okay, and what's the NCSC SRS? What's that?
That's a state revolving fund loan, our zero interest loan, which is our portion that we have to deposit in a separate bank account to meet the requirements of the Sacramento bureaucracy.
Okay, so basically that's a transfer to, where's our bank account?
It's to a separate bank account set up specifically
state?
For the state fund, which the state requires.
Where?
At Mid-State Bank.
Okay.
Okay, I'll second. Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve warrants of August 19th. All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Motion passed. Manager's report.
Yeah, Mr. President, the incident report or the CC log didn't get in the packet, but it was presented to the board members as you came in. It shows the aspects that we went through and the incidents that have been reported. We'll probably call this more of an incident report since if there's, someone has a break, they call it in. It's not really a complaint. It's an incident that has happened. We have a few items like that, but if before you have any questions of any of the items, more than happy to address it. If not, we received correspondence from the county service area of the county associated with County Service Area 1 and 1F, which is the Galaxy Park. They are in the process of trying to do something over there. The last paragraph indicated that County Service Area 1F, which is that 60-something lot subdivision, once the sewer plant expansion is completed, there may be a movement by the county and the Regional Water Quality Control Board for the district to take that on to provide disposal of their wastewater.
And you're going to find it, right?
Pardon?
And you can cite it, right?
That's up to the board. And then the third item, NCS Board of Candidates. There are three seats open, and we've had three seats filed for them, and therefore there will not be an election. The three candidates will automatically be seated in the first Friday in December, which I believe is December 4th. We'll be getting notification from the county clerk on this aspect. Mr. Al Simons, who's incumbent, ran a tough race, but he won.
He didn't even know he won.
Thank you for your support, my loyal friends.
But he was tied by Karen Moore and Richard Mulfrathen, I believe it is, and both of these candidates are in the audience. I think earlier the board met Richard. Karen Moore is sitting back there. You might want to introduce yourself. This is the board of directors. And as I mentioned, there will be no election. In the packet, I think I've given you a lot of information. We'll be getting notification from the county clerk's department, and then there will just be a swearing-in ceremony on the first Friday in December, which I believe is December 4th. We'll be sending out these packets on every board meeting so you can get some background before being seated. If you have any questions of any members of staff or the board, I'm sure we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Would you care to...
I have a question, Val.
Hold on, Ed.
Pardon me.
Do you want to address the board for any reason?
Yeah. Well, stand up and say at least stand up and.
Identify yourself. How long have you lived in Nipomo?
About 5.5 years.
5.5 years. What was your reason for filing for the? What is that your husband?
Yes.
What did he say?
Is he going to be? Is he going to be prompting you when you?
Yeah.
You're going to be your own boss.
I was sure you ran for the huge income that you.
No.
Yeah, there.
I just wanted to come tonight.
We're familiar with Mr. Mulfrath and if that's how you pronounce your name.
Mulfrath, yeah, sure.
Yes. We've seen you around here several times and I'm pleased that you've shown that interest and that you're now on the board.
Well, it was something interesting. I never tried this before. And I think I can contribute something to the board anyway. I like this to Mr. Snyder.
Ah, there you go. You have a fan.
We need an ex-Marine to tangle with him.
Where's Ridge Road?
It's right off of Hedrick, there by Live Oak Ridge, the next street up before you get to what's
that?
That
stop sign?
You don't know how to Cherokee at the stop sign. You're running for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Some Cherokee place.
That's what I thought. I wasn't sure.
That's all I have, Mr. President.
We're going to go into closed session now.
We got management or
director's comments.
Oh, director's comments.
Right.
Yeah. And director's comments.
Yeah.
I have one too.
Go ahead. Go first, Katie.
Go first. Okay. One time I gave you some information on when someone has a broken pipe on their side of the meter. It was kind of an interesting way that I thought that people would get credit is based on a way it was handled back east.